Acts this morning. Acts chapter 7. Give you a second to get there. I love preaching out of Acts. I like all the Bible, but I particularly like Acts. Things were going on in the book of Acts. Amen. Huh? The church had something going on in it in the early days in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. This is, I got to give you a little intro to the reading of the scripture there because of where I started. But this was after Stephen had answered a council that he'd been drug in front of and gave him an opportunity to preach the gospel to him. And most of those folks didn't appreciate it too much. And starts in verse 54, Acts chapter 7. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again this morning. And as I prayed earlier today, Lord, I pray that we'll all feel your presence here today with us. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we know nothing will be accomplished without you. And so I pray that you use me, Lord, or preach through me. And Lord, that there's one or more here lost and not sure about their salvation, today will be the day. They see their need to call on your name. We know that we have at least today. Lord, we're not guaranteed another day. But Lord, we have today. And I pray that you'll speak. Lord, move and work. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory for what's going to be accomplished today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Rather a long title this morning. The title of the message is Paul's First Glimpse of the Resurrected Christ. Leading up to this area right here in the Bible, the early church, as I said, there was things going on in the book of Acts. I like that. The church had grown. And it had grown to the point that the 12 apostles couldn't handle all the situations that arose every day. And so they saw a need to appoint some men, being led by God, of course, some men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom to help with the business of the church. It was when they actually called what we call the first deacons of the church. And they appointed seven men, of whom one was the man spoken about here, Stephen. And the Bible says that he was full of the faith and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 6:8 says that, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." And during that time, I mean, the church was taking off. I mean, people were preaching the gospel. They were living the gospel in their lives, and the church exploded with growth daily. Sometimes at the rate of thousands of people daily were being saved. But you know, where God's working, Satan works, and Satan's got his crowd too. You can believe that. And Satan's got a crowd, and it says that there arose men to dispute with Stephen. Now, you know, I always kind of see through. I know that when men arise to dispute against God, that Satan's at the bottom of it. Satan, you know, God's working through men today, and Satan's a counterfeit, and Satan works through men today too. Don't worry, ladies, I'm not leaving you out. I mean men as in mankind. Satan works through people, and God works through people as well. And so Satan counterfeits that. And so they tried to argue with Stephen, and the Bible tells us there earlier that they could not resist his wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. In other words, he was winning all the arguments. You know what happens when you win all the arguments? Boy, people don't like that too much. If you win all the arguments, people get upset. And they didn't like it. I believe they got convicted about some things. And so they couldn't do anything about it. So they had to work with lies. And they spread a bunch of lies about him and got people stirred up and claimed that he blasphemed God and spoke blasphemous words against God and against Moses. And so they got him. And, of course, when the uproar took place, and they brought him before a Jewish council. And that's when the high priest made a mistake, as it were. It wasn't really a mistake, but it was as far as he would later probably have admitted. And they let Stephen speak. And in the chapter there before our text today, or during that, in that chapter there, right before our text today, we can see the message that Stephen preached, and he started all the way back with Abraham, and he preached a message on the history of the Jews right all the way up to the day of Jesus Christ and what had taken place. And the Bible says that they were cut to the heart about that. They got convicted, and they were so angry, the Bible says that they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, you've got somebody pretty hot when they want to jump on you and start gnawing on you with their teeth. I mean, it says that they gnashed it, and they were so angry with him, they gnashed on him with their teeth. And they decided that they were going to stone him to death. They drug him outside the city, and they were going to stone him to death. And the people wore garments that were kind of long and all that, so they took their outer garments off, their coats. And the Bible says they laid him at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen to death. And Saul witnessed all those events. And these were events that changed his life forever. And I believe, and it goes along with the title of the message today, I believe, and this is what I want you to see partly this morning, is that this was the moment that Saul, who would later become Paul, his name was changed to Paul, but Saul first saw a glimpse of the resurrected Christ through the person, or through Christ living in the person of Jesus Christ, of Stephen. Jesus Christ living in the person of Stephen. The things that Paul saw, the Bible says there in Acts 6:15 that it went on down there to say that he saw his face, is that it had been the face of an angel. This was when they drug him before the council, and they were questioning Stephen, and it said they saw his face as been the face of an angel. And then in the text that we read in verse 56, it said they saw the heavens opened. Stephen, they heard him say this, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And then they heard him say, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he said, "Lay not this sin to their charge," which what he was really saying was, "Forgive them. Forgive them." And you know, I don't know whether for sure, but I believe probably that the apostle, who later on would be the apostle Paul, but that Paul was at the crucifixion of Christ. If he was not at the crucifixion of Christ, I believe at least he heard the events. You got to think about what went on in those days, and this wasn't that many years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you've got to believe, and then some of those men on that council that day that stoned Stephen were also involved in the crucifixion of Christ. And I think that as these words were being said, as they looked on the face of Stephen, and as they heard him say, "Thy hands," he said, "I commend my spirit," or "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," which was Jesus said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." They had to be thinking, you know, we've kind of heard these words before somewhere, you know. I believe, you know, that the Holy Ghost has the or does this. I know he has the power to do it, but I believe he does this. I think the Holy Ghost of God, you know, brings things to our remembrance. You know how forgetful we are about things, but I think that the Holy Ghost of God just can bring things. And I think every one of them, their conscience, those that knew, those that had heard about what Jesus had said from the cross, those that knew actually maybe saw it firsthand, and all of them, including Paul, maybe even had seen all the events that happened on the crucifixion day and in the resurrection following after. But sometimes they click in their head and say, you know, I've heard this before somewhere. I believe, isn't that kind of like the same thing, that fellow we crucified back? I don't know whether, I'm not going to give you the timeline, but you know where it all took place in the timeline. But didn't it sound kind of like those things that happened back during the when we crucified that guy named Jesus? And so I believe that when you think about this, when you start thinking about that and think kind of deeper a little bit, you know, was Saul seeing Jesus, or was he seeing Stephen, or was he seeing Jesus? Was he seeing Stephen that day, or was he seeing a new Stephen, or was he seeing an old Christ? I believe that, you know, we may have thought before that Saul met Jesus on the Damascus Road, but I believe really that he met him for the first time right here in our text this morning. Because later on, Paul wrote this one thing, and he wrote this in Galatians 2:20. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live," listen here, "yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He said, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And I want you to see something, and this is the way it ought to be. And this is for the Christians in the crowd today. This is something that it ought to be. Saul wasn't seeing a new Stephen, but he was seeing a resurrected Christ living in Stephen. And this is what we need to understand as Christians. The world don't need to see a new us. Huh? The world got tired of looking at the old us. The world doesn't need to see a new us. What the world needs to see is Jesus Christ living through us. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, yet I live." Yet, and he said, but Christ liveth in me. See, he understood that. And I think all the way back when he sat there and saw Stephen on that day when he stoned to death, he said, you know, he was seeing Christ and he understood. He said, "Listen, I'm dead. He said, "Christ is living in me." And that's really what the world needs to see in us today as Christians. Listen, it doesn't need to see a new one of us. It just needs to see Jesus. And if we ever get this right, boy, you know, you always wonder why, boy, I just don't have no power. I don't have power to get the victory over this thing in my life or this area of my life, and sin's always seeming to beat me down. Listen, you'll get the victory over sin in your life when you quit trying to live your life and you understand something, that you're dead, and that Jesus Christ is living in you. When Jesus Christ is living through you, then you can say, I can do all things through Christ who liveth in me. You know, we can do all things. Man, listen, how could Stephen do it? How could he get stoned and just stand there and say, "Hey, lay not this sin to the charge," and his face looked like an angel, and he said, "Receive my spirit," and he saw Jesus standing. How did all that happen? Because it was Jesus Christ that was living through him, because he was already dead, and you can't kill a dead man but one time. A dead man, once you're dead, you're dead. I mean, nobody can do anything to you. And so he saw that. Jesus had died, resurrected, ascended. And this is the thing. We know this, that God's everywhere, and that Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit, God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is dwelling in the hearts of the believers today. So we understand that. But the physical Jesus is not here. The physical Jesus, in that sense, where it's visible, let me say, the physical Jesus is here. The visible Jesus is not here. So where is the world going to see Jesus today? Huh? Hey, you and I weren't around when they crucified him, when he resurrected. We didn't see him on the cross. We didn't see him as he walked as a man. Huh? But we saw him somewhere along the road, or we'd have never got saved. And listen, today, listen, Jesus is not going to come back down here and walk around on the every 10 years and get re-crucified so the world can see that and see him and he can do all the teaching. Where does the world see Jesus Christ today? The world sees Jesus Christ in the lives of the believers. Man, I mean, we talked about this several weeks ago. I preached on this right here. Listen, God doesn't do anything with the flesh. God doesn't take the flesh and make it new. God just crucifies the flesh. That's what needs to be done with the flesh. And what it is what the world doesn't. That's why I say the world doesn't really need to see a new us. Although the world probably like to see a new us, most of us. But the world needs to see Jesus Christ in us. That's all the world needs to see. And that's the important thing. And, you know, I know that right after this, listen, I know that Saul went on and persecuted the church for a certain time. I know he did. I know that right then he didn't get converted that day. But I'm going to tell you what, there was a seed that was planted. And seed planting time's coming up. But I'm going to tell you what, when you plant one of them things in the ground, you don't see nothing right away, do you? You plant a seed in there, and you can stare at it all you want for days and weeks before something usually happens, before that thing pops out. And it's the same way in the life a lot of times of people that God speaks to. Listen, it was a seed that was planted that day. And I don't believe that he ever got the image and the words that Stephen said that day out of his mind. I just don't believe it did, or otherwise I don't think God would have, through the Holy Spirit, recorded it in the Bible here. Why do we have to go through all that? If it was something, there was something there that connected Saul with Jesus Christ and with Stephen all together right there. The same words of Jesus, they were the same words because the resurrected Jesus was actually living in Stephen. He said, listen, he said, lay not this sin to their charge, which he was saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And these are the points I want to use today. I know his outline's longer than normal, but it was a good time to forgive. It was a good time for Stephen to give, and it's always a good forgive, and it's a good time for us to forgive. Number one, it was a good time to forgive because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Ghost. When Stephen had preached to the council, and I didn't read it, but right across your Bible there, if you got a old Scofield Bible, it's just right there on the same opened up place, right in verse 48. He said this, when he was preaching to the council, he said, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. He had just gone on and talked about Solomon building the temple when he got to that, about how Solomon had built the temple. But then he said, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. See, he understood something about this, that Stephen knew that now that the Holy Ghost of God dwelt in the hearts of the believers. He knew that. He knew that, and listen, God's everywhere. God is everywhere all the time. He could be anywhere, and he really couldn't be contained in the temple that Solomon had built. But he said, listen, that's not where he's dwelling now. He's dwelling in the hearts of the believers. He understood it. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, And you know, I mean, the purpose for that is so that men would see Christ dwelling, you know, living in us. A couple of weeks ago, it was just right around here. I think it happened down in Roanoke somewhere. There was a church that was, remember that was in the news about that church that got desecrated? Somebody broke into it and they painted graffiti and everything all over the inside of the church. And they tore a bunch of things up and all that. And everybody said, man, that was bad. It was terrible. And it was. It was a terrible thing. But what about when... Now, the Bible says what? Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost of God is dwelling in our hearts. What about when we desecrate the temple?
Amen.
Huh? What about when we desecrate the temple and we won't forgive others? We hold grudges and we've got hate. We've got backbiting. We've got sin. And we forsake God. And a lot of other things I could probably add to that list. I just couldn't think off the top of my head what to say. But just think of all the times when we harbor bad thoughts. We've got ill feelings toward another person, a brother or sister in Christ or otherwise. We harbor bad thoughts. We won't forgive somebody. We hold a grudge. We tattle. We backbite. All those things that we can do when we're not faithful to God. When we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and when we lay out of church for every little thing that comes up, it's something else seems more important than God and the things of God. What about those times? Aren't we desecrating the temple just as well as somebody that breaks in, sprays paint all over everything? Matter of fact, it's worse. I'm going to tell you what, it's worse, because this ain't nothing but a building right here. Huh? Listen, God, they can tear this building down, and I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ will still be dwelling in the hearts of all the believers. That's not going to change nothing. We go out here and meet in a cow pasture if we got to. We'll put a tent up somewhere. We can have a meeting right there. Huh? We'll huddle up in a basement of somebody's house. We'll rent Ray Sloan's funeral home out, which would be pretty appropriate. And we'll go down there and have a church service right there. Right? We'll do whatever we gotta do to have a church service. This is not the church. The church is in our hearts, brother. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, man, we're desecrating the dwelling place of God, buddy, every time we entertain sin of any kind, and there's a lot of it out there. Amen. Listen, I mean, most Christians I know of, we're not guilty of murdering and raping and stealing and those type of things. Well, what about lying and hating and unforgiveness and all that stuff? What about that? Huh? What about it? Man, that desecrates the house of God. I'm going to tell you right now, but he knew that. You know, our light, the Bible says, you know, to let your light so shine before men. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's a play on the words right there, but it's not your light that needs to be shining before men. It's the light of Jesus Christ that needs to be shining before men through you. That's the light that needs, but what about when we take and put it under a bushel? He said not to put it under a bushel, but we do. Huh? We do when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, when we lie to the Holy Spirit of God, when we quench the Holy Spirit of God, we put our light under and we won't go out there and take the gospel. Got the words of life right here in our hands. Somebody, you can tell somebody how to get saved, how to avoid a Christless hell, and you won't, you're too chicken to tell anybody about it. Huh? Got your mouths all clammed up and say, well, you know, preacher, I just wasn't led to do it. Well, I don't know, he's leading everybody else that's saved to do it. Why would he not be leading you? Huh? We won't, you know, what about when we do that? Huh? Thank God. Boy, just think, Stephen, man, Stephen could have saved his life that day if he'd have just kept his mouth shut, but he didn't keep it shut. Man, he went out there and preached right to them, got on it too, man. I mean, called sin, sin, and told them who was doing it, them. He didn't pull any punches, man. He didn't have a politically correct message, by the way. He wasn't politically correct that day. He told them that this is what the sin is, and you're the one that's doing it. And it said it cut him to the heart. Well, listen, man, nothing happens. You don't bleed till you get cut, right? Huh? Nothing's going to happen unless the message convicts, right? And nothing happened there. And so what about that? We're worse than those that desecrated just an old building. Listen, man, he was spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. This is the thing that's missing today. It's the thing that's missing in the church today. Man, it's being filled with the Spirit. And that means being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And the only way that you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God is if you die to self. Huh? You better get crucified with Christ. When you say that, that's why. Well, how come all of us ain't like Apostle Paul? Because you can't say I've been crucified with Christ. That's why, because you haven't given up. You're holding on to something in your life. You're holding on to some of the world. You're holding on to some of your own little personal space. You're holding on to some of your stuff, and you won't let God take control of it. Man, listen, a dead man doesn't do nothing. A dead man laying there, he's just dead. He don't argue with you. He don't give you no compliments. He don't tell no lies about you. Huh? He don't do nothing. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Nothing. Just letting Christ do it through you. Huh? Let Christ do it through you. And that's the problem today, man. He was a spirit-filled person. There was some evidences. This is another little outline. You can go ahead and use this, Pastor, if you want to. There's another little outline in here that goes along. I could have used this for the whole outline, but I didn't. But I'll just give it to you, no extra charge. A little side lesson here. But there was characteristics of a spirit-filled life. Number one, he was available to the Lord. Huh? That's a characteristic of, you know, we say, well, you know what, when you get filled with the Spirit, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to be available to God. Amen. That means you're going to be doing something for the Lord. Amen. Hold on here. Come on now. Y'all get with the program. Huh? You got to train them around here, brother, because they just don't know when to do it. You don't want to, you know why you don't want to say amen right there? Because you know what? A whole lot of us aren't doing anything for the Lord.
Amen.
Huh? Hold, let me leave that right there. Whole lot of us aren't doing anything for God. See, when you're filled with the Spirit, listen, what do you think Jesus did all day long, man? Playing tiddlywinks, huh? Laying out in a rack all day long, sleeping till noon, getting up for lunch and taking a nap right after that? Man, no, he was out trying to win people to himself. He was out preaching the gospel. He was out teaching, man. He was winning souls. And I'll tell you what, the early church was too. That's why I love it so much. That's how come 1,000 people could get saved. They didn't have no little fancy thing right here with the outline on it. They didn't have no little special singing with the sound man in the back and doing all that stuff. Man, they went out and they didn't have radio. They didn't have CDs. They didn't have four courses on, you know, soul winning and all that kind of stuff. How to evangelize. They didn't have like all kind of doctrinal books, apologetics. They didn't even know what that was, man. I mean, they didn't have all that stuff, man. All they did was they just went out there and said, this is what Jesus Christ had done for me. The world saw Jesus living through them, and thousands a day were getting saved. Amen. We'd have a heart attack around here, man. We just get all excited when one a year gets saved. Huh? We had three in the last 3 weeks, something like that, man. Huh? We just been, woo! We haven't done anything. We're trying to catch up. We're trying to catch up from being behind. But they did it because they were available to the Lord. That was another thing, characteristic of being a spirit-filled life. Another one is a channel of God's power. We don't get to power. We don't have any power. It's God's power. It's the power of God. And God always uses his power for what? Winning a loss. I mean, that's what, you know, he's doing his thing, man. It's not like God gives me the power and then I do something with the power. A spirit-filled person is a channel of God's power. Comes in, goes out. Huh? That's it. Not a reservoir, it's a channel. Another thing was graceful when provoked. He was graceful when provoked. Listen, man, Stephen, they're gnawing on him with his teeth. He said, Father, forgive them. I don't know about you, I'd be punching their heads in. Somebody, you start gnawing on me with your teeth, I'm going to do something with your teeth. I'll tell you that right now. But maybe I'm not as spirit-filled as Stephen. Well, they gnawed on him with their teeth. And he said, you know, he said, lay not this sin to their charge. Well, he knew the Word of God had convicted him. That was it. Well, that's my next point in the other part, but I'll get to that. But he was graceful. Another thing was he knew the Word of God. Man, he knew the whole history from Abraham all the way up. He rehearsed the whole thing, all about Moses and everything. He knew all that. Top of his head. He didn't have to have an outline like we do. He had it all down. He knew, and he rehearsed that in the ears of those people right there. He knew the Word of God. He was sustained during trials. Man, how do you go through that stuff? I'll tell you what, God sustained him, man. God gives grace. When you say, well, right now, I don't know that I could do it. But you know what? You don't need the grace to do it right now because nobody's fixing to throw a rock at you. Me, maybe, but not you. God gives you grace when grace is needed. I mean, that's what it was. And so he sustained him. And then another thing was, it was Christ-likeness. When you fill with the Holy Spirit of God, guess what you're going to do? You do the exact things that Jesus did. You'll talk like Jesus. You'll act like Jesus. You'll walk like Jesus. Huh? You'll look like Jesus to a certain in his in an image, in a certain way, in a spiritual way. You know, it's Christ-likeness, everything about it. And you know what? You'll be doing the Father's business. You'll be doing the Father's business. So those are the characteristics. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The second thing was that went on there, they were convicted. This is another reason to forgive. They were convicted. You know, it was good to forgive because Stephen knew this, that they were convicted by the Word of God. He knew, you know, way down inside, listen, when somebody gets offended at the gospel, it's not really you they're offended at. They're offended at either maybe their own self sometimes, but it's the conviction of the Word of God. They get mad at God. Listen, hey, if you're mad at God, that's just, you know, when you get mad at me, listen, don't be mad at me. Somebody says, oh, preacher boy, your message really got on my toes today. Listen, man, I was aiming at your heart, not your toes.
Amen.
Man, I can shoot a little better than that. But that's what it's supposed to do, right? It wasn't me. I'm just preaching what the Bible says. If I'm telling you a lie, somebody lay it on me now. If I'm not telling the truth, if I'm giving you something that's not out of the Bible, you tell me. I'm giving you what the Bible says. Now, if you get mad about that, you get convicted about that, that's not my fault. And Stephen knew it, man. Listen, he just gave him the truth. He just gave him the truth. And he said, listen, I mean, what's the point of me saying, listen, we're going to preach on sin, not your sin. I'm not going to preach on none of y'all's sin today. Y'all are good. Go ahead and relax. Go ahead and slide down. I'm going to preach on somebody's sin, maybe them guys over at John Deere Tractor. What good is that going to do? Huh? Somebody said, preacher, I sound like he was just talking right to me today. That's exactly who I'm talking to. Who am I preaching to? You. You know, Stephen knew, and so what's the point? Listen, let's get to it. These problems, not letting, you know, a while ago, maybe you got convicted because you're saying, well, I'm not letting Christ live in me. Yeah, that's who I'm preaching to. You. You know, that's what happened. And they got mad. They got mad at him, but they were really mad at God. So they're the ones that needed to repent. And Stephen knew this. Listen, hate and anger will never lead someone to repent. He knew that. You know, what was he going to do? He's trying to win them to Christ. He's trying to get them saved. They're gnawing on him with their teeth. They're getting ready to stone him to death. Do you think just all of a sudden start calling them a bunch of bad names was going to get them to be saved? Was that going to work? That wasn't going to work, was it? Huh? No, you never get. You know what they needed? They needed love and forgiveness. They didn't need hate and anger. He knew that. That's why he forgave them. Another reason, third point, is a good reason to forgive is because you know the end of the story. You know, it's good to know when you know how the story's going to come out. Listen, you ever watch reruns of sporting events? You already know how the game came out, like you watch a rerun, like your team won the Super Bowl, and you can, you know, when you're watching the game, you're all intense, and you know, the first time, you're intense, and you're all worried, and you're chewing on your nails because you don't know how it's going to come out. But see, once your team wins, and boy, you're basking in the glory of the victory, and then the old rerun comes up on NFL Network, you can go in there and say, boy, I'm going to watch the game. And you know, and when it gets one of them things where your team like fumbled or something happens, you don't worry about it because you know the outcome of the thing. You know the end of the story. You know that your team in the end won the game. So it's not a big sweat, right? It's just, listen, I'm going to tell you who wins this deal right here. The Christians. We're the ones that's going to win. I mean, we won. You know, we've already won. Victory is ours. You know, why do we worry? So say, hey, listen, a little hiccup in the road. Maybe things went south for a little while and then get straightened out. But listen, it's no big deal because we know at the end of the story that we win. You know, and so that's why we can forgive, because I'm going to tell you what, you don't carry no grudge up into heaven. You're not taking a grudge up into heaven with you. You're not going to have no hate going to be up there. None of those things are going to be going on in heaven. So, you know, you might as well get rid of them now. That's a good amen, please.
Amen.
You know, when you know where you're going to be and you know what you're going to be like and you know when you're going to, who you're going to be with, that makes it all a different thing. The world out there needed to see that we've got our eyes on the city. a city that's not down here on earth. They need to see we've got our eyes and our thoughts are somewhere else. We've gone on. You know, Paul said, listen, to die is gain. What was Stephen worrying about? He wasn't losing, he was gaining. I don't know that I want somebody to beat me to death with a stone when I go. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but when we die, it's gain. It's gain. And then the last reason, and this isn't the only one, but the last one I have, good reason to forgive is because we were forgiven. Huh? It's good to forgive because we were forgiven for so much. Saul wasn't seeing Stephen that day. He was seeing the resurrected Christ living through Stephen. And that's, as I said, the world doesn't need to see a resurrected us. It needs to see a crucified us. And needs to see us dead and a resurrected Christ dwelling in us. And one other little note. I was at the, I'm a chaplain down at the Bryan Center. It's a nursing home type place. One of the ladies, we went down there, Sherry and I went down to see her the other day. And she's usually pretty positive. Now, as positive as you can be, staying in bed all day with a hole cut in your throat right here and a vent tube stuck in there. And you're breathing through that, and when you want to talk, you hold your finger on there so you can stop the air for a second. But she found out, and I shared this with church on Wednesday night, just when we had our prayer meeting. She had found out that she had got something else. She named off, it's like three initials, didn't make, I don't, you know, everybody has things, they name that stuff off like we're supposed to know what it is. Didn't sound good, whatever it was. I think it had something to do with her respiratory system. C something, something. Anyway, she said, yeah, I found out. You know, she's a Christian lady. We've helped her some and, you know, given her some books and things. But boy, you could tell, man, she was really discouraged. She was really, really down in the dumps. And she said, you know, I know that God, the Bible says that God's not going to put on us more than we can bear. She said, I know that. But she says, sometimes I just feel like asking God why. Why do I got to get, you know, why something else? And I said, well, you know, I told her, I said, listen, there's nothing wrong with asking God why. I mean, depending on the attitude you got when you ask, I mean, you know, you can, your attitude is everything. I said, nothing wrong with asking God why. Why? You know, just ask him. Maybe he'll give you a reason why. But I'm not here to hope to explain all that to you. I said, but you know, there's things and that go on in life and not, you know, sometimes it's for somebody else's benefit. And I don't know that in that case. But, you know, I know in this case right here, you know, Stephen might have been able to say that. I thought about this. He might have said, you know, here I'm full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and power. You know, you've called me to be a deacon. I just was dragged before the council and I preached your word to them just like you wanted me to do. And now, you know, they're dragging me out of here. They've gnawed on me with their teeth. They're dragging me out. They're going to stone me to death. Why? You don't know, see. But I'll tell you why in this case. Because our text said that they had laid their coats at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. And there was something he had to see. And the Bible tells us that he was a chosen vessel. Later on, the Lord said that about Saul. And he sent somebody to talk to him. And the man was actually afraid of him. He said, look, he's a chosen vessel unto me. He said, I want you to go talk to him. He was a chosen vessel already. And that man right there needed to see it. And the whole event, the preaching and the stoning to death and all those that he went through, God had a purpose. And God had a plan. And there was a man that God was going to take from persecuting the church. I mean, we're not talking about somebody that was indifferent. We're talking about somebody that was flat out against it. And he was persecuting the church. He said, I'm going to take him. And I'm going to make him an apostle. I'm going to make him an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, he's going to go, and he wrote most of the New Testament today. But at that day, he was against God and his church. But he needed to see something. You know what he needed to see? He needed to see Jesus Christ. He needed to see Christ, and I believe he saw Jesus Christ for the first time through the person of Stephen. Let me ask you this in closing. Have you ever met him? Have you ever met Jesus Christ? And is he in your heart? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost of God? These are the questions of life here. Amen. Let's all stand with their heads bowed. We have an invitation.